You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information. The views and opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily represent those of the network, its advertisers, owners, or sponsors.
All right, so hey, welcome to episode 230 of the IT and the D Show. You'll notice it's Dave, Captain Soundboard, in the intro. Why? Because Bob is off at a sales conference. Nuri is off in London on business. And so it's me sitting here with I do the Twitters, Randy, and Dr. Hook, Jeremiah from Daily Detroit. So really, who really knows how this show is going to go tonight? We're going to wing it. We're going to see what happens and have a good time. One quick thing, though, before we get started. So when's the last time you checked your credit scores? Because your scores may change more often than you think, and you should know what they are now, not from a year ago. Credit Karma is here to help you out. The best thing is Credit Karma is always free. There's no catch, no credit card needed. Tell you what, I actually use Credit Karma. It's an app on my phone. I pay attention to it at least once a week. They're really proactive. They send you alerts. It's a very cool service. Checks all your different credit scores, gives you numbers, tells you things you should work on, what you should pay attention to, what offers you may be ready for, that kind of stuff. Very cool service and a very cool app. So go to creditkarma.com or download the Credit Karma app now. That's creditkarma.com. And hey, you know what? I'm just going to tell myself I can fire when ready.
You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
Following program is intended for mature audiences.
I'm Wyatt. That's Gary. You're Bob and you're Dave. This is the IT and the D Show.
This is Max Headroom. And what you're about to witness is one of the most sinister sounding intros to a trailer to one of the greatest epics ever.
This is Billy D. Williams. Bob and Dave and I are enjoying a Colt 45 right now. And remember, IT in the D, it works every time.
Just where do you guys think you are?
The Library of Congress?
Detroit?
Beyond the Sun?
Any of those, right?
Take him to Detroit.
No! No, not Detroit! No! No, please! Anything but that! No!
You will never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
Then don't come! Shut up!
Hi, this is Christy Swanson, and you're listening to the IT in the D Show. And Bob and Dave touch my hoo-hoos.
What happens when you tap the angry beaver in the bunghole?
Exactly. Come on.
What the hell with this? I'm calling a break. We'll come back to the show.
This is Guilfoyle from Silicon Valley, and the only two guys I hate more than Dinesh are Bob and Dave. Suck it, guys.
What's up, everybody? This is Billy Zabka, Sweep the Leg, listening to IT and the D Show. No mercy.
I may have to wipe the beak off.
Hi, this is Kelly LeBrock from Weird Science. So, Bob and Dave, what would you little maniacs like to do first?
Are we at a break yet?
Hey, this is Zach McGowan from Planet Earth. You're listening to IT and the D Show.
Hi, I'm Ernie Hudson, and you're listening to IT and the D. All you nerds out there.
Nerds.
What is a nerd?
I'm a nerd, and I'm pretty proud of it.
Hey, Detroit, this is Anthony Michael Hall. You're listening to my buddies Bob and Dave on IT in the D.
This is Scott Steiner, Big Papa Pump. The IT in the D Show is your hookup. Holler if you hear me.
You're in your underwear? I'm in my underwear. Hey, let's hang out.
No, I'm sorry, honey. I have a headache.
I definitely want to see Bob in his underwear. That's a fact.
Hey, everybody. This is Tony Todd. What's happening? You may know me from Candyman, The Rock, Sushi Girls, Zoom, Night of the Living Dead. A lot of pop culture media madness. Anyway, you're listening to IT in the D Show Business.
I'm totally into Dave, but not right. So much Bob.
This is Robert Hayes, a Ted Stryker to my mother. When I'm not hanging out at the Magumbo Bar, I'm listening to the IT and the D Show. It's worse than Detroit.
Is there such thing as a meat hangover?
I love my Monday meat steak.
Hey, folks, this is WWE Hall of Famer Hacksaw Jim Duggan, and you're listening to the IT and the D Show. Tough guy.
So, what would you little maniacs like to do first?
The question isn't what are we going to do, the question is what aren't we going to do.
Ludicrous speed! Sir, had you better buckle up?
Ah, buckle this! Ludicrous speed! Go!
All right, so hey again, welcome to episode 230. I got to tell you, it's a little hard not having Bob in the room just because we have that standard banter and pattern that we go through.
I just can't fill his seat.
And well, clicking the well, no, we have left Bob's seat vacant. Let's be clear.
I know, no, I'm in the FNG seat. And I have only one question for you after that ad read. Are you in fact a karma credit chameleon? Credit karma chameleon. Got to get it right, right?
Like that should be their logo. I mean, Geico has the little gecko. That could be their
ooh,
thing.
Ooh, what about like a battle royale?
Throw
chameleon
the
versus
two.
Gecko? That'd
can
be amazing.
Save you 10% of your car insurance versus checking your credit scores. Could be a thing. All right, hey, before we get rolling, I want to make sure we mention a few things. So we had our podcaster meetup last week that we've got going on every other month. That was over at Selena's. That was phenomenal. A ton of people showed up, had a lot of great conversations with people, really enjoyed it. And then we've got our IT and the D meetup, our Metro Detroit one, which is third Thursdays, this Thursday over at Falling Down. That's the 18th, if I recall correctly. So we'll be there hanging out. And con season is upon us. So we've already added a couple events. We will be out at Astronomicon. We'll be at Great Lakes Comic Con. I think those are the two in February that we'll be at. And then Podcast Detroit is sponsoring the cosplay contest at Astronomicon. So that should be a fun one.
Does that mean that everyone has to cosplay as a podcaster?
Yes, they all have to wear
simplest costumes ever.
One of our shirts. That's
yeah, t-shirt, jeans, disheveled hair. You're good.
Beautiful. So, hey, the first story that caught my eye that I want to kind of dive into because it I can't figure out if it makes me laugh or it creeps me out that this is where we are as a society. So Legal Fling.
Yeah.
Is an app that's come out, you know, or it's coming out because apparently it's still not approved by either Google Play or the Apple Store. Yeah, the Apple
Store. Yeah, this is definitely like a PR kind of release where it's like, oh, we haven't been approved yet, but we're going to get a bunch of attention.
But
trying
to get
approved.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if it ever actually launches. So it claims to be a legally binding contract via the app in order to prove consent.
I mean, I get it. It also kind of is like a – like if you need an app, where is our society gone?
That's what I said. Like is this where we are as a society now that you have to have that?
I also feel like with only 5 checkoff categories, there's just not enough freak there. I mean there's just not enough experimentation there. They say like photo and video check, which I assume is verification but makes me think of a whole nother type of agreement.
Right.
For photo and video. use condom check, STD-free check, explicit language. I mean, explicit language? Do we need a check for that?
If you're bumping uglies, do you really need to have an extra check mark to be able to talk
this
dirty?
Is the perfect consent app for like Mormons. I mean, you know. And then we go down the line. We've got BDSM. That's it. Like you could get so much more specific with this contract.
I feel like that would absolutely kill the mood though. Like can you imagine
we're already using an app.
True.
Beforehand. I mean, I guess a lot of people use Tinder or OkCupid or whatever. So there's some app involved here, but like I didn't like at the end there. I also feel like this is something that could be like put together by a service, right? So like Tinder already is like the swipe right, swipe left kind of thing.
Right.
Why not just put this right in, roll this right into Tinder?
Maybe that's what they're aiming for.
Oh, to like get like bought up. They never actually build an app. They just get bought for $1 billion.
Right.
For this screenshot.
Yeah.
Why are we doing this, Dave?
We're doing it wrong.
Remember the intro. Venture capital is not the end game.
That's in the outro, actually.
Outro.
Yeah, yeah. The outro.
Yeah, good old Brad Hoos.
Yes, venture capital.
My concern with this app is that how do you revoke consent?
Well, like, it says it can be revoked with a push of a button.
Yeah, but things now, are hot and heavy. You have to go track down your phone.
Is it like listen
to
the
audio? Hold on, just wait a sec. Let me grab my phone. No. It's not because I'm going to revoke consent. I think I heard a text message come in.
Or is this going to be like Google Home and always listening to you and there's a safe word?
I think that only gets activated if you check off the BDSM box.
Right.
But the photo and video consent is a good, you know, ruse to say, oh, yeah, let's go take some photos, go grab your phone and then revoke consent.
And then calmly dip out of the room.
And the question is, does it like tag it with like a little Legal Fling in the corner? You know, like for promotional purposes.
It watermarks the photos in the
video.
Yeah,
watermarks.
That would be amazing. So then switching over to Hawaii, I found this concerning on several levels. So the emergency alert system sent out a message to everybody in Hawaii that said, ballistic missile threat inbound to Hawaii. Seek immediate shelter. This is not a drill. And apparently it didn't get corrected or updated for what
38
was it?
Minutes.
I was going to say 33. So, yeah, 38.
Because the thing is that it's all preloaded and set to go if the thing is coming. But apparently they had to go through multiple public relations channels to word the statement to say that it's not. Meanwhile, people are calling their families, freaking out, understandably so.
People are putting their kids into storm drains.
And— oh, yeah. I said the videos that came out of Hawaii were just ridiculous coming off this.
And there was no process around this. There was just a guy who, I guess, hit the wrong button.
Literally. Yeah.
Yeah. And I guess apparently now what they're going to do is have like a two-factor process so that there has to be two people to like both turn the
key. The system was a drop-down with two options. One was live and one was test.
Wait, it was a drop-down menu?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
And so the worker who
– nightmare user interface, people.
Exactly. And the worker who botched this has apparently been reassigned.
I bet you it was running through SharePoint or something like that, where it was just like some terrible menu system left over from like 1992.
Well, which kind of leads into – there was a story that Wall Street Journal came out with that basically said why Uber can find you but 911 can't, which was kind of interesting because, I mean, Uber does. I mean, they do a great job of, you know, knowing exactly where you are.
Do. Yeah. Yeah, all those services
You know, pinning you down and knowing exactly where you are. And
wait, no. Pinning you down and knowing where you are, that's in the Legal Fling app.
That's back in the BDSM right. area. So they do a great thing. But, yeah, so 911 can't always, you know, pinpoint your accuracy or pinpoint your location with that degree of accuracy. And I guess it really comes down to the 911 system is just still so incredibly outdated, which is, you know, and I guess it kind of gets down to a conversation we've had on here a bunch of times, which is a lot of our basic infrastructure is not up to snuff and or crumbling.
Yeah. And old. I mean, there's still stuff out there that's like COBOL and like, you know, mainframes. I mean, there's still vestiges of companies sitting around even in this metro region to like maintain mainframes mm-hmm. in 2018.
Oh, you know, big iron's never going away.
No. And these systems, you know, it costs so much to overhaul it that if there isn't the money in the budget, they just keep patching as they go along. Because oftentimes, I mean, we just haven't been committed to funding infrastructure, whether it's like physical road infrastructure mm-hmm. or our IT infrastructure, which frankly puts us at a security disadvantage to the rest of the world.
I remember way back in 2005, it was before the iPhone, I got a new Sony Ericsson phone, not a smartphone, way before smartphones, that one of the selling features was E911 support.
Right.
So I was working with a small town community 911 calling in testing to see if they could pinpoint me, and they were still – even with E911 support that their system supposedly supported and that my phone supposedly supported, their system could only narrow it down to the tower, which was 11 miles away from where I was actually at.
Wow.
Yeah.
Not surprising.
Not encouraging.
No. You know, and that's the thing, though, is that a lot of people get upset around, well, the government spending so much on a person or wages or things like that. Technology wages are high.
Mm-hmm.
And to attract good people, it – costs money, and it can cost money very quickly, especially if you want to get people who are doing, you know, if you're competing against the Googles and the Facebooks and the IBMs uh-huh. and all that kind of stuff. It's really hard to convince somebody who could make 250 grand to take 80 grand
for the public good.
Yeah, you can get them to cut off 10% of their salary, but we have to get real about what these things actually cost if we want to do these things and move money appropriately.
Well, and you know, you mentioned the whole infrastructure thing again, and that's let's be realistic. So, you know, we're in Michigan. It is winter. We've had what, one good snowfall?
And the potholes are everywhere.
On my commute to Ann Arbor this morning, I saw a car on its roof on the shoulder.
Ooh.
Yike.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, and like it's ridiculous. Like there's the on-ramp to get on 696 by my house mm-hmm. has deteriorated and they just quote unquote fixed it. I'm going to go 2 months ago mm-hmm. has so many deep potholes that there were six cars with blown tires, as I was driving in today.
That's crazy. You know, and that's the thing, is that a lot of times the fix, especially in these like frost-free situations with that giant temperature swing we had, the fix can sometimes make it worse because you're doing layers.
Yep.
You're not actually bonding with the other pavement. We have got to make different – there's different pavement choices that actually could be better as a state and as a region, but we just don't pick them because we're used to like slap down that asphalt, go, you know, go wherever we need to go and –
Yeah, I was about to go there too, but yeah.
Yeah, we just – no.
We'll just let that one slide.
Let that slide.
But no, so I mean – well, and some of it comes down to – and I've heard this a bunch of times. Like, you know, they don't have these issues with, say, the Autobahn.
No.
Because they dug the bed down deeper underneath the roads.
Well, it's more investment up front.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other side of it, you have to think about the fact there are a lot of interests that are involved in keeping people at work, fixing these things over and over, instead of keeping them at work – building lasting infrastructure, right? There's a lot more profit to be made when you're doing it over and over as opposed to doing it right the first time. And we need to think – you know, that's the thing, is that we got to think about, let's build the right roadbeds because they're there. They exist. Other countries have it. Other states have it.
Other states have it.
Well, the other thing is our load limits are pretty high here in Michigan too. We have, I think, the highest load limits for large trucks, multi-axles, all that kind of stuff. If you go down roads like Connor – especially if it's near the end of the life cycle, you literally will like drive through like little hills like Connor Avenue on the east side of Detroit. The ruts, I remember a few years ago, the ruts were so big I could literally feel a scrape under the car because all those trucks coming out of Jefferson North.
Well, I was going to say, a lot of that has to do with the assembly plants and everything else as they're pulling, you know, that was our main industry forever. But then you probably should have done a better job on those roads to start with, knowing that.
If you know that your road is the major service road for an auto plant, you should build it differently.
A little bit.
2 years ago when they were redoing I-275, that was one of the big concerns, is like, we're going to have to redo this in 7 to 10 years because we can't get the funding to do it properly.
Right.
Well, 94 is on the cusp of a huge rebuild, literally knocking out houses, expanding its width to tie into the new bridge.
So are they finally going to raise the speed limit on 94 from 55?
That's the plan. Because that's the idea.
Other than being a speed trap, why is the speed limit on 94 55?
Well, that's because of the federal regulations, because it's so narrow with the walls. I used to live right over there by that 94 thing, and the wall just comes right up to the slope comes right up to the buildings. The other thing that's interesting, that stretch of Midtown has among the most dangerous bridges in the state. Some of them are getting like a D and an F. And in fact, the 3rd Street Bridge has been shut down indefinitely over I-94 in Midtown, right by Wayne State University.
Really? I wish I were getting a D and an F.
He self-belled, people. He self-belled. I want to call that out. That was a self-bell. But these bridges are crumbling. I would bike over those bridges and there'd just be dust coming down.
Oh, yeah. I remember there were news crews out at one point because there were just giant gaping holes in the bridge that you could literally see through.
Yeah. And the 3rd Street Bridge was getting to that point. Some of the pictures from down below, because you can only really see it because it's the bridge that goes over where the ramp is, that very tight turn ramp. And it's just down to the steel rebar. Like it's like there's a point where they might just have to remove it and just like just have a thing there until they redo. Because it hadn't been really taken care of in more than 20 years. It was originally built in the 1950s. I mean, we don't think about it because we use it all the time, but all this stuff, it costs money. We just keep pushing it down the line.
And nobody cares about it. Well, I mean, it's like code. Nobody cares about upkeep and maintenance. It'll just be there.
Right. Exactly.
Until something bad happens.
Well, the Woodward Bridge was in terrible shape until the Q Line came through and like paid for the rebuild. That's the other thing about the Q Line people don't realize. The more and more research I've been doing about the project, although it's the Q Line and we have jokes, the reality is that a good part of that project was actually replacing the infrastructure under the street. You got new DTE lines, you've got new fiber lines, you've got all this stuff that is basically redoing that core infrastructure. There was still like wood beams down there from stuff at one point.
From the old trolley system that was there that in the 80s.
Actually, yeah, the 60s. Yeah, we just rebuilt. There were even stairs at one point from Woodward down to 94 for high-speed bus lanes that got removed, and there's infrastructure. There was all kinds of crazy stuff.
Huh. So I want to jump over to my I can't figure out if it's the dumbest customer of the week or the smartest customer of the week or just the most shameless customer of the week. Guy snaps a picture at the Costco in Santa Clara, California, on January 4th. Of a woman returning her Christmas tree because it was dead.
Duh.
People.
Like, I realize that their policy – this is one of those just because you can
– this is why we can't have nice things.
Doesn't mean you should.
Bed Bath & Beyond used to have an unlimited return policy. Like, you didn't need a receipt. You didn't need the original packaging. Just take an item, and if they ever sold it at one time, they would take it back and give you a refund. But now they've changed that because of abuse like this.
Well, it's just – again, common sense. You got to – it's unfortunately not all that common.
No. I mean, it is in Santa Clara, which is down by, I think, I think it's the southern part, San Jose. And so maybe they're just not familiar with the winter and evergreens and how they work, which is also kind of funny to me as well.
Well, when you cut a plant down,
any plant
dies.
Yeah, evergreen plant.
That's how that works.
Yeah, it doesn't. It's
geniuses,
people.
I do like because it's all the rage these days, and we do have we're doing a deep dive episode on this next week.
Eating Tide Pods.
Oh my God!
This is a challenge you should not do. And I cannot believe the people who are eating Tide Pods.
So, it's the meme we just posted on the page. You know, 1998. Hey, we're going to have flying cars in 20 years. 2018. We literally have to tell people not to eat Tide Pods.
I can't believe all these commoners eating Tide Pods. Cascade action packs are where it's at.
The platinum versions. Yeah, absolutely. But no, so we're doing a deep dive on Bitcoin and basically all cryptocurrency next week with some folks that are very, very knowledgeable about it. Researchers have figured out that basically it was one person who more likely than not drove Bitcoin value from $150 to $1,000 of value in about 2 months with a pretty heavy series of fraudulent transactions.
Wow. That's not necessarily surprising considering that it's not something that's backed by value. But something to remember is that our currency in the United States is only backed by the trust of the U.S. government. So, which is a big deal,
but it's eroding rapidly.
yes, it is. But it's not surprising at all. And all these currencies that have popped up, there is this. I don't know whether I'm not knowledgeable enough to call it a bubble or not, but it's something that reminds me from an economist perspective of like the tulip craze. And there's like this economics theory about like the tulip craze where people pushed up the price of tulip bulbs in like a year and it became a really big thing. And then all of a sudden all these people, all these businesses popped up serving tulip bulbs and all this other stuff because it was the rage. And then overnight.
Gone.
And all these people's money, gone.
Wow. Flashback to 1637.
Listen, I'm going to party. Let's party like it's 1699.
Well, no, because, I mean, it is a real concern, and we've talked about this. I mean, in reality, any cryptocurrency is essentially a collectible. It's worth whatever somebody's willing to pay for it.
Well, but the cryptocurrencies that are more interesting to me are the ones that actually integrate into systems. So, say, micropayments between cars or ways to facilitate copyright for photographs or – there's different things that if it's actually like integrates into a system,
right,
then it could have more value than just wee.
Yeah.
You mean like the loyalty rewards program that Hooters is introducing?
What?
Backed by blockchain?
Seriously?
Yes.
What is it called? Hootcoin?
I don't know. A bunch of franchise owners.
Bustcoin?
The major franchise owner of Hooters is introducing a blockchain supported rewards program.
Of course. Well, that was actually.
Does it come in pairs?
So that was actually one of the articles you shot across that I don't have in here is, you know, that guy that basically does nothing more than ICOs, initial coin offerings.
And he's got a whole house of ICOs and people like drive to his house and like this is on the New York Times and like they drive to his house and like want random advice from him. And it's a crazy thing that. People are just – there's so much wealth wrapped up into this overnight and like what to do and how to get involved in it and all these things. He's become this this legend.
He's calling himself the Lizard of Wall Street.
That's right, the lizard of Wall Street.
Well, and it was, you know, kind of an interesting quote, and that kind of goes along with, you know, just the volatility of this whole thing is he said, yeah, he's like, I really had to kind of come to terms with the fact that there are days where I'm going to wake up and lose $1 million and I'm just going to have to be okay with that.
Yeah. The headline was great, though, is like everyone is getting hilariously rich and you're not.
Right.
That's a pretty darn good – that's a pretty darn headline as far as it goes. And then you got to love like the like tech bro first image with like the Ethereum and Bitcoin like ugly sweaters.
Yeah.
Like it almost played completely into like every stereotype there. But on the other hand, this is real money now. This is real things that are affecting real people's lives. I know multiple people with a lot of money tied up in all of this stuff. And it could really – it could go one of two ways. It could go really terribly or it frankly could really change how economics is thought of.
Yeah. Right?
People are looking for ways to put their money into stuff that grows faster than five – like a couple of percentage points with a blue chip
a
stock.
Year. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, which – fine. But then you have things like, you know, the Miami Bitcoin Conference that stopped accepting Bitcoin as payment for attendance.
Well, the transaction fees for some of the things are, what, $30,
yeah.
Something like that? I mean – but on the other hand, if you're thinking about one Bitcoin being worth, what, $15,000, $16,000, whatever,
whatever it is today.
Whatever yeah. It is today, $30 seems cheap, but now it's been split into so many little fractions of Bitcoin. It reminds
– Satoshis.
Well, again, there's a historic – precedent for this is that it used to be when you had like a doubloon or silver piece or whatever, it's
you
actually
could,
a piece of eight comes from actually cutting the coin into eight pieces. So everything old is new again.
It is. All right. Well, hey, anything else we got to hit on before we take a break?
Don't think so.
All right. Well, then, hey, this is episode 230 of the IT in the D Show.
And we'll be right back.
Nice pickup, Randy.
Woohoo!
IT in the D. Reads. Meets. Listen, Networking Detroit, one beer at a time.
Hey, this is John Schneider from Nip Tuck Smallville, the haves and the have-nots. Oh, Dr. Quinn, hot in Cleveland. Secret Life of the American Teenager and just about everything you can possibly imagine. And oh, yeah, the Dukes of Hazzard. You're listening to Bob and Dave. It's the IT in the D show.
ITinTheD.com.
The end is nigh and the end is now, but not quite.
Yeah, I'm not that smart. See, this is what happens when I have to do everything. This is why I'm delegating more this year.
I'm proud of you for that, Dave. I'm very – hashtag delegate Dave.
All right. So I guess let's – I figured, you know, we were kind of running loose and free this segment. So the one of the bigger stories that's floating around Detroit right now is the auto show, obviously. I know it's press preview days. We did not do what we did last year, which was get the press passes and go to all the press events because honestly, it just wasn't for us.
Yeah, there's a lot of industry reveals. There's fun, interesting stuff. Like I remember a couple years ago I went. I loved that like multi-aqua car that was from a Auburn Hills farm where you could like drive it as an ATV and then just drive it into the lake. It's kind of like the up north dream.
The James Bond mobile, yeah.
Which everyone says they want, but they don't really buy.
Right.
Which is sad.
Well, I mean, because they have them in – when I lived in Boston, the duck boats are a big thing. And you see them everywhere because like that's what they use to do tours around the city. They drive them around the city and then they just drive them right into the water and tour you around Boston Harbor and it's kind of cool.
Is it the harbor or is it the harbor?
The harbor.
The harbor.
Yeah. Got to park the car in Harvard Yard for a quarter. Yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, there's a lot of things that are happening this year that are – standard like redesigns and things like that.
Yeah.
You know, the Rangers got a new, like more aggressive look. The technology things I thought were that one of the technology things I thought was interesting is that finally Apple CarPlay is being picked up by Toyota and Lexus.
Okay.
And of course, that's interesting from a media podcast or whatever, you know, kind of world because frankly, CarPlay is one of the best ways to get podcasts, whether you like Apple or not.
Right.
It's got among the best podcast integration because there's just a button right there on the dash. It plays things really nicely.
Yeah, when I bought my car in summer of 2016, one of the key features I was looking for was a CarPlay support. So I got the Chevy Spark and it's got CarPlay. I love it.
When I remember back in the day when CarPlay first came out, all the big automakers – and this is when I was doing some auto show stuff – were all like, our system, blah, blah, blah. And the reality was – all our readers and all people that I wanted just to happen was just put my iPad or my iPhone on my dash. Like just this is just what I want. I don't yep. care about your fancy system. And I understand that there's like a lot of value add and a lot of perceived profit in, oh, I'm going to do the Ford whatever connect or the GM blah-de-de-blah.
Yeah, I don't.
They're all terrible. I haven't met one that's good.
I don't understand GM's next-gen platform. Apps in your dash. Like I don't need apps in my dash because I can use them in my car only. I have my phone right. with me all the time. Just let me put those phone apps up on a bigger screen in my car.
Well, but that the whole thing for there is capturing extra, trying to like upsell for making, you know, to charge more money for the car. That's what it's really about. Well, they don't want to see that. They don't want to see that.
Is it charging more money for the car or is it being able to charge more money to third parties by saying, hey, we have X number of people that use this?
Both. Both. Let's yeah. be honest. If they can make money on both ends of the transaction. The thing is, it's frustrating about this is yet another trend where automakers don't think about like what we actually want, but they're thinking about it from like a top down perspective of like, let's put in our system. There's a, so you've got a Chevy. One of our riders has a Chevy, but doesn't have CarPlay. Has their like in system. Yeah, it's terrible.
Yeah. It's just now finally rolled out to every Chevy vehicle. Like it was staged. Some older hardware didn't support it. So
got it.
2018, I think is the model year where every Chevy vehicle now has CarPlay support or Android Auto support.
Oh, that's very cool. Cause the system that they have, it's glitchy. It's, you can't make it right. You've got to like hit the darn screen 14 times. And then the screen is recessed, which I don't understand.
I'm perfectly happy to just Bluetooth to audio. My system. That's
yeah, I drive an older car and I, you know what I do? I use the thing, the little jack that goes into the audio and I just hit play and it works every time. Mm-hmm. And there's never a connectivity issue.
Uh-huh.
Because it plugs into the dashboard. And then I just hit play on my playlist and I just let it go and I'm good.
Well, I think that kind of, you know, it sort of fits in with what we were talking about, you know, the okay, sometimes people forget that the simple solution is often best.
Yes.
Like, you know, I posted something on my wall about what the hell was it called? Oh, God, the foot heater thing. It's like, oh, the toaster, T-O-E.
Of course, there's got to be a pun there, which I appreciate a good pun.
Right. And I'm like, literally, so we've gotten to the point as a society where socks and slippers are too hard if your feet are cold. You now need a little electric blanket for your feet. And people are like, well, but, you know, bending over can be hard for older people. I'm like, okay, don't they have to plug it in? Wouldn't they have to bend over to – yeah. Again, just slippers. That's all you need is slippers. Just
slippers. They're called slippers.
Because you can just slip them on. That's why they're called slippers. And if you can't, then you didn't buy slippers. That's an issue.
Buy slippers. You bought something else.
Yeah, no. So like I've been watching all the news that's been coming out. And, you know, obviously one of the big stories and a recurring topic here is, you know, the whole connected car thing. And I haven't heard as many claims this year as so far as I heard last year about how rapidly the connected cars were going to be coming to the market.
Yeah, V2V and what's the other name? V2V is vehicle to vehicle.
Yeah, right.
Like infrastructure to vehicle, like traffic lights will tell you that, oh, there's a long line here. Start slowing down early before this light.
And Oakland County put out a big bid for private companies to like connect up all the roadways. That was a big push last month that they announced to try to like get all of the infrastructure in there because all these cities don't have that infrastructure. And again, it goes back to who's going to pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all these dreams are great. But when it comes to like on the road, when you've got to make things happen, you're messing with infrastructure that sometimes, you know, legacy 100 years old. How are you know, you have to design a system that works on its own. Expecting governments to pay for this kind of stuff, they're just not going to do it unless they can find a partner. I mean, Oakland County is one of the most well-off counties in the nation.
Yeah.
So they can do that kind of thing. But that isn't most places. The other thing is that I wonder, what do you guys think about where self-driving as part of connected cars, where self-driving is, because every time I talk to an editor of an automotive publication, I did a couple years, the cars.com, we're actually going to have some folks hopefully from Autoblog on this year. Every time I talk about them on The Daily Show, it's always either it's going to happen right now or it's going to be pushed out. People don't want to give up their cars, yada, yada, yada. But the data trends keep showing that like Uber, Lyft, other services are making more and more headway.
Well, there's a difference between like, okay, but Uber and Lyft are not, say, Johnny Cab from Total Recall, where, you know, it was a robot sitting in the front seat driving you around. I think.
Well, what I'm saying is the progression continues to happen.
Yeah, I think. Well, I think that that doesn't necessarily bode well for the automotive industry from the standpoint of fewer people are buying cars, because there are, you know, rideshare alternatives and that kind of stuff that you can fairly decently rely on now.
Well, especially if you're in a tighter urban area, like right. if you're in Philly or if you're in Chicago or if you're in yeah. whatever.
But like, you know, the whole self-driving autonomous thing, maybe it's my inner 87-year-old coming out or something like that. I don't see it. Like I've always said, if you could do a clean sweep somehow and get all of the self-driving cars get all of the human-driven cars off the road all at once and immediately replaced with self-driving cars, beautiful.
Amazing.
But that blend of self-driven cars that are, you know, logic-driven and programming-driven versus human-driven cars that are completely illogical and irrational.
Bring home dead Christmas trees.
Right. This is where and eat Tide Pods. You know, this is where we are as a society. You know, I don't really see that working. It can't.
But what about transportation and logistics? Things like long haul. Tesla's been putting out some stuff with semi-trucks, things like that. Those kind of long – kind of like change the future of work, because – one of the challenges for a lot of these companies is finding drivers, finding talent. There's so many jobs in the economy right now.
There's a reason why the tractor-trailer driving schools have ads running 24/7.
Yeah, exactly. But there's a whole slew of jobs that people just aren't filling right now. And I think technology is starting to aim towards those. And it's kind of scary because there's actually a lot of money to be made at these jobs. But people just aren't going for it for whatever various reasons. I feel like technology is going to hop into a lot of those things, like in an industrial – just like I think VR has a lot more industrial applications right mm-hmm. now than it being like a consumer thing. I think it's – I don't know if it's a consumer thing ever. I think maybe augmented is, but not virtual.
Yeah. I mean there's some very cool stuff out there, like whether it's like, you know, we had Terry Bean when he was in here, when he was dealing with a VR company, and he brought one of his things here into the studio. I was fascinated by it.
It was fun.
I wouldn't really go out and drop $800 on it.
Well, I feel like though if you're a prototyper or something and you need 3D space, something like that makes – if there's an industrial application
right.
for it. But yeah, no one's going to drop eight. I mean you got to get – people have to start thinking about like what are people actually going to do? How are they going to use it in their life? That kind of stuff. I just find it
– I mean it made sense for like gaming lounges. Like I could yeah. see High Score Lounge buying one, you know, and putting in and having it there for, you know, people to, you know, pay per minute or whatever they want to do with it. But yeah, typical home consumer, meh. But I mean like – and that's kind of where I sit with this whole, you know, autonomous car thing is I do. I think it makes perfect sense for, you know, some of those, you know, long haul applications and that sort of thing where you don't – but I mean even that, I mean candidly, a self-driving – multi-ton truck carrying a multi-ton load scares me more than a car.
Right. The idea being is that with the long hauls, it's on a freeway, it's like easier. So like you would have a driver, but they wouldn't do much work in between.
Right.
So that they – because one of the biggest challenges with drivers right now is timing, sleep, all that other kind of stuff. But it's interesting to see that like General Motors is still full speed ahead with all of this autonomous stuff. They're in fact just a few days ago started to see government approval for a fully autonomous car. No steering wheel, no brake pedals, no accelerator pedals to enter their ride sharing fleet in 2019. Like for 2019.
See, that would scare the ever living hell out of me because I mean that's one of the things. Like, so you buy a self-driving car. Can I speed if I need to?
No.
Like, what if I'm trying to get to a hospital?
Interesting.
And it's, you know, simple, stupid. Like, can I go above the speed limit if I need to? You know, and how does that over, you know, how does that override work?
How does your
work?
Needs set to other, the collective's needs?
Yeah.
There's all kinds of like questions you get into that. And then Ford is actually partnering with Postmates to start doing deliveries, all that stuff with autonomous cars. So it's, they're all gung-ho with this and I'm trying to figure out why. Why is that the big push right now? Because most people are like they're in your camp or they're like, bring on the autonomous cars. It's like one or the other. There isn't really like a middle. So is it Wall Street? Is it what are the motivations behind this? Or is it just this is our R&D thing? This is the thing like the media likes to pick up and we don't really know what's going on here.
Yeah, because I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, I mean, Minority Report was a fascinating movie and that whole thing about, you know, cars just whipping along, driving themselves was great. But yeah, I mean, how do you deal with, and again, you know, just from an IT perspective, technology and security, man. I mean, you know, we've already seen, you know, the systems in cars get hacked fairly easily. So, you know, you have a self-driven car. How do I know someone can't force my car to pull over? How do I know, you know, do we live in a world where, I mean, are the days of the police chase coming to an end because they can just shut your car down?
Right.
While you're driving. Or is it going to be like, oh, well, you know, if you want to have a non-self-driving car, you must be a criminal.
Right. All those assumptions that get made. And the question then also becomes like, is this a situation of – now, a lot of people already lease cars. But is it where the automaker owns all the cars for insurance reasons and then say their lifetime vehicle revenue goes way up because they're renting it out to you and doing a delivery over here, and it becomes just their thing. Like, we don't even own cars anymore.
I would be fine with cars as infrastructure.
Yeah, cars as a service.
Yeah, I hate having to own a car, maintain a car. I just want to get where I want to go. I don't care how it happens. Right now, car is the only viable option for me.
Right.
Yeah, but I mean, then you get to the, you know, the practical side of it. I mean, like, so, all right, I need to run to Lowe's or Home Depot and pick up a bunch of lumber for a project I'm working on. Then what?
Well, when I was listening to a presentation from the president of Fontanelles Partners, which is actually invested by Bill Ford at the recent State of the Region event with the Detroit Regional Chamber, what they talked about was you hit a button and you get whatever car you need. So, like, if you're going to Lowe's.
So, Uber-ish, you know, I need a regular or a Lyft-ish, you know, I need a regular car, yeah. I need a multi-passenger car.
You take
car,
a regular car to Lowe's and then get a flatbed from Lowe's to your home.
Well, the idea was the software is so smart that it anticipates, like, for instance, it knows what you do when you go to Whole Foods. It knows all these different things where it's like, oh, if you're going to Lowe's, there's a prompt that says, are you coming back with wood or whatever?
Ding.
There's a bell. Where somewhere. Is it? Bell. There you go. That was not a self bell. That was Randy hitting the bell. It's really interesting technology questions. I also think it goes into like society. So much is changing.
Well, and you know, and like I said, the question that I always ask that winds up basically bringing the conversation to a grinding halt is who gets sued? I mean, let's be realistic. This is America. We're a very litigious society.
Yep.
Accidents happen. Who gets sued? When whatever logic in the car that you're driving, a tree falls across the road and it has to make the decision, do I hit the Volvo to the left of me or the Mini Cooper to the right of me? Who gets sued when it makes that decision? Is it you? Is it the manufacturer? Is it the people that run the software? Is it?
How does that affect things like healthcare, right? Because like one of the big sticking points in Michigan and with auto insurance is the kind of coverage and how much mm-hmm. an MRI costs versus it costs so much more for all the services if you're being processed under car insurance than, say, regular insurance or catastrophic insurance. There's a whole different fee schedule. It's one of the reasons why the costs are so high. So that goes into, okay, do you just sign away your rights when you go in a car? Does this mean that we need to have universal healthcare so that everybody's covered no matter what happens? The way the incentive system works, does it even force us into a system like that where it's like, hey, gotta have healthcare, this and this and this. And by the way, you sign this when you get in the car or you sign up for the app, you're screwed.
Yeah.
Or you're limited, your rights are limited, right?
Well, actually, and that reminds me of something else that's kind of a local news story that I know has come up a couple times. Because Michigan, I believe, if I recall correctly, is the only state that has an unlimited cap.
Correct.
On its medical thing. And so I know there's been some conversations around either getting rid of that or making that an opt-in.
That has been a huge fight in the legislature that lobbyists for the insurance industries and the healthcare systems are winning to make no change happen. Because there's a real philosophical debate here on, do we want unlimited coverage for everything? It's like a philosophical decision that we are making. You can't have significantly cheaper insurance without getting rid of the unlimited coverage.
Right.
So you just have to make a philosophical choice. Are you good with this or are you good with that? And that's what it comes down to, because they keep running the numbers over and over again, trying to reconfigure it, all those other things. That's what it always comes down to. And it comes down to, you know, there's a lot of people, there's a lot of attorneys, for instance, that make a lot of money on these systems. All those billboards.
Of course they do.
Right? And get this. Those attorneys are now starting to buy MRI centers. They're starting to buy doctor's offices. There's a strip mall for one attorney where you can go place to place to place, and they'll even send you a car to pick you up and drop you off to all of their medical places. And then they send the bill. They send the bill. Do all those things. So not only are they your representative, but they own the MR place. They own the doctor's office. They own the rehab center. And it's all in one strip mall. And it's a huge profit center.
That doesn't seem right. I mean, it seems enterprising and capitalistic and amazing.
I mean, it's
but it doesn't seem right.
Well, it's exploiting a loophole in the system, because the thing is, with Michigan, not enough regular folks get active in our politics, so the people with the most money often make the biggest difference. We don't get mad in Michigan about
Local
issue.
It's the actual golden rule. He who has the gold makes the rules.
Right. And exactly. And if there isn't like outrage, which I'll tell you, nothing makes a site snore more than we go into like some policy corner.
A deep dive on policy, yeah.
Right, but it's what matters. And if you wonder why something's happening, you wonder why your road is crap, you wonder why your car insurance is so much, you wonder this, there are reasons. Don't just yell at the internet, yell at your legislator.
All right, so anything else going on around the city this week we ought to yak about?
$60 tacos in Dearborn?
Yes, let's talk 60 tacos. God. Let's talk $60 tacos.
M Cantina in Dearborn is serving $60 tacos, but here's the kicker. You have to order them in threes. So you have to pay $180 for tacos.
Apparently you have to order everything there in at least threes. So yeah, that's just a standard thing with them. And it's Wagyu beef.
Yeah, Wagyu beef, Hudson Valley foie gras, golden Ocetra caviar, and shaved black truffles.
In a taco.
Yes.
Just go to Taqueria El Rey. It'll be better. That was – or Lupita. That's just – I can't even – I mean that's just like – that is one of those things that's obviously like a stunt, right?
It's like the $50 burger.
Right.
Yeah.
Or the $80 cocktail. Unfortunately, like Townhouse, the burger is just $20 normally. But
right.
That's my own issues.
Tacos should be cheap.
Well,
like they say otherwise, but you know, it's some long-cooked cheap cut of – meat to make it tender, topped with onions and cilantro.
Right, but also I have a question for you. How much foie gras are you going to find in Mexico, buddy?
I mean in upscale places in like Mexico City or
no, but
you'll
like,
find
– I'm
know,
sure you will, but like it is
street
not –
stands.
Foie gras is French.
Well, yeah, but you're not going to find it on like a street corner taco stand in anywhere.
No, but
in
like whatever happened to being – I mean yes, you can be creative and things like that, but I also feel like there's like a little bit of a level of like just like culinary exploitation of like we're just going to throw this in here. And by the way, I'm just some random dude.
We're calling it a taco.
Yeah, we're calling it. Wouldn't it be funny if the
because
tortillas
were – because
we
put it like, in a shell, we're calling it a taco.
Wouldn't it be funny if the tortillas were just like the like 89 cents for like 20 of 800
them? 800 of them, yeah.
Right, and they're just like the cheapest, just like the normal – taco shell with all of this fancy Wagyu, which all that stuff personally. And I'm somebody who likes food. I'm somebody who cooks. We write about food. All that stuff is overrated in my opinion. Like good food. Yes, there are good ingredients, but you do not have to get Wagyu beef to have a good beef taco.
Oh, it's like I've said, dude, I will go to Outback before I ever set foot in like a Ruth's Chris again. It's just not worth it.
This is true.
Now, Mr. Paul's different story.
Oh, yeah. Mr. Paul's. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, that's a cut. Yeah, well, you know, and then there's just a rise of all – I'm interested and I'm glad to see all of these really good restaurants happening, although just – no, take your $60 taco and go to hell.
All right. Shall we wrap?
Sounds good.
Nice, simple, easy episode. All right, folks. So, hey, this has been episode 230 of the IT and the D Show. Again, don't forget we have our third Thursday meetup over at Falling Down Beer Company this Thursday, the 18th. We'll be there from 5 o'clock until whenever at Falling Down Beer Company. Jer, all of your things can be found at
DailyDetroit.com, and make sure to subscribe to our daily show, the Daily Detroit News Bite.
There you go. And, Randy, you're just on the Twitters.
I'm on the Twitters.
All the Twitters.
All right, folks. Hey, have a great night. What was it? Drink up your drinks. Get your phone numbers. You don't got to go home. You just got to get the hell out of here. Beat it.
The emergency destruct system is now activated.
Conan!
What is best in life? To crush your enemies, see them driven before you, and to hear the lamentation of their women.
Long live Flash! You've saved your earth. Have a nice day.
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. And I'm all out of bubblegum.
Nice shooting, son. What's your name?
Murphy.
Make the run.
Game over, man. Game over.
It's over, Johnny. It's over.
Nothing is over. Nothing. You just don't turn it off.
I can't say no, and I don't really want to, so.
Well, especially with the back doors open.
Yo! Hold up! Time out! Time out! Y'all take a chill. You need to cool that shit out. And that's the double truth, Ruth.
Bob loves it in the camp.
I hope this was as much fun for you as it was for me.
That's why I like it in the can.
Joe, own the truth. Owns.
Fear me.
My job is to make sure this program is morally upright and cultural and wholesome.
Shut up, Mimsy! Shut up, Mimsy! Shut up, Mimsy!
Why would, like, Buick put their cars next to, like, the Bentleys? Like, why? That's not marketing.
The alphabet.
It's brilliant.
Yeah, I can't take that position.
That analogy sucks because it's right.
Because you're getting your 8-track tuned up.
Are we at a break yet? Yeah, so now I'm just, like, doing, like, stupid stuff to make me laugh.
Venture capital is not the end game.
When are we going to talk about me?
Jane, you ignorant slut.
It's my show. I can say what I want. Yeah.
Kiss my ass. Go home. Unplug. Get off the goddamn internet. You are everything that is wrong with the internet right now.
You're so white right now.
I'm the whitest guy in the room. Just explain it to me.
Show now.
I love this city. I was banging on the wang.
Really? Should we talk about the tag team? Should I keep going or should I stop?
Can I just say, it's been great being on a show that talks about Mickey Rooney dying for 20 seconds and then poop for 10 minutes.